This is the Gospel for Wednesday of the 8th week of Ordinary Time. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. The disciples were on the way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. My dear family, this is the third and last time that Jesus told the apostles prophetically what he was to suffer in Jerusalem and how he was going to die. And in the three occasions, the apostles responded in a very inept way, sadly so. Those three are in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. So, chapter 8, 31, Jesus tells them how he's going to die, and Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him. "Oh, no, Lord, this cannot happen to you." In chapter 9, again, Jesus tells them about his passion and death, and the gospel tells us, but they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And now we're in 10:32, the last time, and Jesus is very detailed now on everything's going to happen to him. And again, look at the response. It's incredible. James and John, who are among the first of the disciples to be chosen, are the closest, along with Peter, to Jesus. They completely disregard what Jesus is saying, and they say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Now, this is very interesting because in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 7, Jesus says, "Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you." And many people say, "Well, that's not true. I have asked for things, and Jesus has not done them." Well, in the Gospel today, James and John ask, and Jesus does not grant. Because, you see, we forget John 15:7, the previous sentence, the Lord gives a condition. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." This means that in order for our prayer to be granted, we have to be abiding in Jesus, and we have to be in his word. In other words, we have to pray in the name of Jesus with his heart, with his sentiments. And so the Lord wants to teach us to desire, to hope, to want with him, in him. In other words, we allow Jesus to reign in our hearts, and that should be the basis for our prayer. And this was not the case of James and John. They were not listening to the word of Jesus. They were in their own track. So Jesus asks them, "What do you wish me to do for you?" And they say, "Grant that in your glory we may sit at your right and the other at your left." Now, the glory of Jesus Christ was manifested in this world. Remember in the Gospel of John, when Judas left the table, Jesus says, "Now the Son of Man will be glorified." Because there's no greater glory than to continue to love when one is being betrayed. The glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, is manifested first and foremost in his passion. And so they did not understand this, of course. They were not thinking about passion and suffering. They were thinking about themselves being important. So Jesus calls them to himself. "Can you drink the chalice that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Because that's my glory. You want to share my glory? Are you willing to share my cross, my suffering? That's to be one with me. That's really to love." And this is the invitation that Jesus is now extending to us. This is what it is to be a victim soul. It means that we forget about ourselves and we say, "Lord, I want to pour myself out for others with you, in you." And we should not be afraid. You see, the gospel today begins telling us that they were amazed and afraid as they were going up to Jerusalem, because they already knew that something very serious and bad was going to happen according to their perspective. You see, they knew that Jesus had many powerful enemies in Jerusalem. But when we truly love him, we trust and we walk up with him to whatever he guides us to go. Finally, it's important to understand that in the Old Testament, to take the chalice means to accept whatever God has in store for you. Whatever blessing, whatever challenge, the justice of God, whatever it may be. Are we willing to receive it? To allow the Lord to do it? And baptized means to be immersed in water. But it also means to be immersed in the tragedy of the cross, the suffering. So are you willing to share with me my tragedies, my struggles, my suffering, my cross? And this is the invitation that now the Lord is also doing to us That, again, is what it means to be a victim soul. That is what it means to come to be one with Christ. When the ten heard what James and John had asked, they became indignant, perhaps because they were also thinking about the same thing, and they thought, this too got ahead of us. Whatever the case may be, the Lord gathers them together to give them a profound teaching about what it means to be a disciple. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be the first will be the slave of all. And this reminds us of Colossians 1:24, when St. Paul says, in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, the church. That's a man of God. In my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. How could there be something lacking in the afflictions of Christ? Well, inasmuch as I am his body, if it's something that I'm not giving to him, there is something lacking in the body of Christ. And so the Lord then reminds us that he goes ahead of us. He's walking up to Jerusalem with us. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, the Christian life is a way. It's not just an idea. It is walking with Jesus and giving him our own flesh. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, St. Paul says in Romans 12. Offering yourself to the Father with Christ so that his plan of salvation may be fulfilled in you. May the Lord bless you.